Amen. I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. And our focal text is going to be verses 10 and 11, but we're going to look in context at verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter, chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading in verse 7. This is the second week of our series entitled Gifted to Serve. In March of 1997, in a high school state playoff basketball game, my team and I, we entered into the fourth quarter. The clock ticked down to zero. The buzzer sounded, signaling the end of my high school basketball career. My time of competing on the court had reached its conclusion. There would be no more practices, no more games, because our time as seniors had finally come to an end. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Peter, in a sense, is telling us that the clock to world history is ticking down, and that the end, the very end, is approaching soon. Peter puts it this way in verse 7, "The end of all things is near." Peter states the coming of the end with certainty. It's just a reality that all believers need to reckon with and be aware of. The verb that he uses when he says the end is near, the end of all things is near, it tells us, basically, as we look at the broader scope of the New Testament, that with the coming of Christ, His incarnation, His sinless life, His death on the cross for our sins, and His victorious resurrection from the dead and ascension to into heaven, the last days have come upon us. And since the coming of Christ and the arrival of the last days, they are continually moving towards the end of the end, the last day of the last days. The word end here, it refers to the completion, the termination, the goal of God's redemption plan in Christ. Soon and very soon, God's going to put an exclamation mark at the end of what He's doing in salvation history to make for Himself a people in Christ through repentance and faith. The return of Jesus Christ is imminent. It's the next thing on God's agenda. Final judgment is just around the corner. Heaven and hell are at hand. The natural order, when Peter says the end of all things is near, he's telling us the natural order will soon be destroyed. All things are about to be brought to completion in Christ. Peter's not concerned with setting dates. He's just telling us a reality, a truth statement in God's economy of time that the end is near. And knowing that the end is near, Peter tells us that this bears some serious ethical implications. Look in verse 7. The end of all things is near, and note the conjunction that follows. Therefore, based upon the coming of the end, Peter is telling us this has implications for how we should live our lives, how we should conduct ourselves. And he lists several ethical implications. One in verse 7 concerns the purpose of prayer, how we should be praying. Number 2, in verse 8, concerns the way we should be loving one another. Verse 9 concerns the way we should be hospitable to each other without complaining. And then last of all, in verse 10, and these are our, in 11, these are our focal verses this morning, it has ethical implications for how we should be ministering to one another with our spiritual gifts. In other words, because the clock of salvation history is ticking down and the end will be upon us sooner than what we realize, we need to be using our spiritual gifts to serve one another in the church. If I could just succinctly summarize what Peter is saying here, Peter is telling us, use your spiritual gifts to serve one another because there's no time to waste. It's imperative that we get busy using our gifts because all things are about to be brought to their end. When we serve one another with our spiritual gifts and we keep in mind that there's no time to waste, we should do so, as we see in verses 10 and 11, with two motivations or two goals in mind. So we're going to look at those two goals when it comes to what we should be thinking about and striving for when we get serious about serving in the church and ministering to one another with the gifts that God has given to us. So let's look at the text. Let's read verses 7 through 11, and then let's look at these two goals that we should keep in mind as we serve with our spiritual gifts. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we see in this text an exhortation for all of us to be busy about the work to which you've called us with our spiritual gifts, because the end is coming. Lord Jesus, we don't think about it often enough, but your return is the next thing on salvation history's calendar. Oh, may we all be found ready, according to this text, serving one another in the ways you've called us to in the local church, so that upon your return, we will not be ashamed, but we will be found pleasing to you. And we ask it in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. So we need to use our spiritual gifts, Peter tells us, in serving one another in the church, because there's no time to waste. And we see in verse 10, one of the goals in using our spiritual gifts to serve one another that we need to keep in mind. First of all, we see in verse 10, we need to serve one another with our spiritual gifts in order to be good stewards. Serve one another with your spiritual gifts in order to be good stewards. According to Peter, look in verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it, he says, in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. According to Peter, each one of us, or every believer, receives at least one spiritual gift. Some of us receive more than one, but all of us receive at least one spiritual gift that we are to be using in ministry in the local church. Now, Peter has in mind, when he speaks of gifts, what we call spiritual gifts or grace gifts. Wayne Grudem, the well-known systematic theologian, he defines spiritual gifts in this way. They are any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of church. So they're an ability that the Holy Spirit empowers us to use in ministry in the church. Thomas Schreiner, another noted New Testament scholar, defines them in this way. They are gifts of grace granted by the Holy Spirit, which are designed for the edification or the building up of the church. So we see in both of these definitions that spiritual gifts are not ultimately about physical talents or natural skill sets. Spiritual gifts are ultimately spiritual in nature. When we think about spiritual gifts, they are these special supernatural abilities of God that are granted to us upon our salvation, that the Holy Spirit gives to us and empowers us to use in building up the church and serving one another. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, God graciously, he generously, he kindly, he freely, undeservedly bestows upon us these spiritual empowerments to serve him and to serve others. And according to Peter's thinking, since God gives us these special spiritual gifts, they bring with them this motivation, this opportunity, he says in verse 10, that we might be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, when you think about the word steward, it technically refers to something or someone who's been entrusted with something to watch over it, to oversee it, to care for it. Let's say you're going out of town and you call your son and you give him the keys to your house and you ask him to take care of your home and your property while you're gone, and while you're away, he has the right to do what he needs to do to manage it accordingly. In essence, you've made your son a steward of your property and of your home. Metaphorically, when this word is used in reference to God, it means that God has entrusted to us something that he expects us to rightly use and to properly manage. And that entrustment is spiritual gifts. I've shared this story with you, but shortly before I turned 16, my father bought me a brand new 1995 F-150 four-wheel drive truck. I still have that truck today. I've had it for about 26 years. Just recently, I've had several people knock on my our house door, and they ask every time, hey, is that your truck out parked in front of your house? And I'll say yes, and they're like, are you looking to sell it? And my wife's always hoping I'm going to say yes. And every time I have to break these guys' hearts, and I tell them, no, man, I've got no plans to sell that truck. I mean, that truck's going me to the grave. And in the words of our former great president, George Bush, not going to do it. Just not going to do it. It's going to stay with me. But when my dad brought me that truck, it was entitled in his name, but he gave it to me. See, my dad owned the truck, but he gave it to me for my purposes, for my uses. Now, in my dad giving that truck to me, would I have been a good steward or a good manager of his gift if from day one I would have just parked it out in our driveway, never got in it, never drove it anywhere, never used it? Would that have been a proper use of my dad's investment and his kindness and his goodness towards me? Absolutely not. That wouldn't have been good stewardship. In a similar way, when God gives us a gift which belongs ultimately to him, but he's entrusted to us, we are not being good stewards if we fail or refuse to use that gift or those gifts by putting them into action in the church and serving one another. Instead of being good stewards, we end up being poor stewards of what Peter calls here the manifold grace of God. God has this diversity and variety of grace gifts that he gives the church. And when we fail to put them into good use, we're not being good stewards, but poor stewards. I love what Thomas Schreiner says here concerning spiritual gifts. Now listen to this. Everybody put your listening ears on as we tell our kids in Sunday school class. Spiritual gifts are not fundamentally a privilege, but a responsibility. A call to be faithful to what God has bestowed. I want to read that again. Spiritual gifts, they're not fundamentally a privilege, but a responsibility. A call to be faithful to what God has bestowed. You see, God doesn't give us spiritual gifts so we can just walk around thinking, man, look at me, I've got the gift of exhortation. Man, look at me, I've got the gift of helps. Man, look at me, I've got the gift of leadership. Look at me. Man, God thought so much of me, he gave me the gift of teaching. No, that's not what spiritual gifts are about. They're not about God privileging us. They're about God giving us something that he expects us to put into action for his glory in service to others. See, when we fail to use or refuse to use our spiritual gifts to build up the church, I want you to think about what we're doing. Number one, we're being irresponsible. See, we're wasting a gift that God has given to us that's not truly our own. It's his. And he's blessed us with it. So we're being irresponsible. Number two, we're being unfaithful. We're not honoring the Lord in obeying something he's commanded us. In this very text, chapter 4, verse 10, you better believe when Peter says each person is to employ their gift, use their gift, deploy it in the service in the church, God's calling us, commanding us to get busy with our gifts and serving. And if we don't, we're being unfaithful. And then I want you to think about this third thought. When we don't use our gifts in service to God, we're being selfish. See, gifts were not given for self-edification. Gifts were given for mutual edification. Not for personal edification, but for the corporate building up of the body of Christ. And when we don't use our gifts, we're thinking about ourselves. And we're not thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given you special gifts that he intends for you to use to bless others in our church, and that he's given to me that he expects me to use to bless you in turn. So here's just a simple question of application when we think about the fact that we need to be serving in order to be good stewards. Ask yourself this question: are you using your spiritual gift or gifts to serve others in our church? That's the question to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart on this morning. Are you using your spiritual gift or gifts to serve others in our church? And if you're not, what the Spirit is calling you to do through this series that I'm preaching on gifted to serve is to be willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me. I'm ready to get busy. I'm ready to start acting out in church through the gift you've given me to bless others and to meet needs the way you've gifted me to serve people in the church. So let us serve one another with our spiritual gifts, number one, in order to be good stewards of those gifts. We see in verse 11 a second reason, a second goal as to why we should take seriously, knowing that time is short and there's no time to waste, why we should strive to use our spiritual gifts. And that reason is in order to glorify God and Christ. Peter tells us in verse 11, he says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. And now look at this purpose statement, so that. This is the reason God wants us to use our gifts to serve, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So in this text, Peter's telling us that God the Father deserves to be glorified or honored. He's telling us that Jesus Christ the Son deserves to be glorified and honored. God is glorified through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, Peter tells us, to him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Jesus is the one who forever will rule over us. He's the one who forever will have glory from us, and he deserves to be glorified in the in this time and not just in the time to come. So how does this text work together? This is basically what Peter's telling us. As we deploy our spiritual gifts in serving one another in the church, God is honored when other people see the grace and power of the gospel at work in our lives. As we're coming alongside to help and to serve and to minister to their needs, which in turn leads them to thank God, to praise God, to pray to God, to glorify God, to worship God, to recognize his greatness and his goodness. See, when we serve with our gifted empowerments from the Holy Spirit, God is glorified through Jesus Christ in our serving. Have you ever had this happen? You go to Sunday school class. You've had this pressing question in the back of your mind about a decision that's before you. Maybe it concerns a job or a relationship. Maybe it's a trial you're going through. And you just don't exactly know what God wants you to do, and you're praying for wisdom. And you go to Sunday school class, and that very day, your Sunday school teacher, he or she says something that relates specifically to that question that's been burning in your mind, that gives you guidance in what your decision should be and your next course of action that will line up with God's will and God's word for your life. And what do? You're just overcome with joy. You're just thrilled that God has heard your prayer and helped you. You know, in that instance, what really happened? Your Sunday school teacher, who has the gift of teaching, was being faithful to use their gift on that Sunday in speaking the word of God. And as they're explaining the word of God to you through God's empowerment, it results in you honoring God and Christ in the way he's gifted that person, because they have met a need in your life. And this is what Peter's talking about. Whatever gifts we use, God and Christ deserve to be glorified through those gifts in various ministries in the church. Now, Peter tells us how we can glorify God through Christ in the use of our spiritual gift in the first part of verse 11. He gives us two instructions on how to glorify God in Christ. We see in verse 11a that Peter basically breaks spiritual gifts down into two different categories. On the one hand, we have what we would call speaking gifts. And on the other hand, we have what we would call serving gifts. Speaking gifts would refer to spiritual gifts that express themselves primarily through speech or orally. They're oral in nature for the most part. Serving gifts would include those gifts that are more practical in nature, and they express themselves in terms of helping others. So if you think of speaking gifts, think of speaking gifts to include teaching, exhortation, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, gifts that you're going to use to in an oral way to help others. Serving gifts would include such things as the gifts of leadership, the gifts of help, the gifts of faith, the gifts of giving, the gifts of mercy, gifts along those lines. So Peter gives us two instructions here. First, to glorify God in Christ, Peter instructs us to use our speaking gifts in accordance with God's word. Look in verse 11 again. He says, whoever speaks, dealing with speaking gifts, is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. The word utterances here refers to the sayings or the words of God. And in essence, what Peter is telling us here is if you have a speaking gift, you want to always, 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 and let me throw in another always, make sure you're using that speaking gift consistently with the word of God. In other words, you don't ever give counsel. You don't ever preach a sermon. You don't ever teach a Sunday school lesson. You don't ever give an exhortation of any sort that would be contrary to the once for all delivered word of God to mankind. That is inerrant, that is foolproof in every way, that is totally trustworthy. You never speak anything that's inconsistent with the word of God in using your spiritual gifts. You want to make sure they're consistent with God's holy word and God's gospel through Jesus Christ. I've told you many times when I preach on Sunday, I don't have anything good to say to you. Why would anybody want to come to a church, not only Lakeland Baptist, but any church, just to hear the thoughts of one man or the thoughts of another man that another man is sharing? I don't have anything to share with you that's going to be revolutionary, that's going to change your life. The goal that I have in preaching any sermon is to make sure my sermon is an expository sermon or what we call a text-driven sermon. I simply want to re-say what God has already said, hopefully in a way that's explained clearly, in a way that's illustrated, in a way that's applied clearly. But apart from the word of God, I don't have anything good to tell you. And that should be the purpose for every person who has a speaking gift. You want to always measure your words against the word of God. That's what Peter means when he says to speak it as the utterances of God. You make sure it is in accordance with God's holy word. I heard from a friend of mine many years ago that his mom's pastor stood up on a Sunday, and you want to know the topic of his sermon? Tim Tebow. That pastor went on to preach a sermon on the person of Tim Tebow. That was the pastor's message. See, guys, what God is saying, when you give counsel, when you teach, when you preach, when you exhort, make sure what you're saying lines up with the word of God. You're not just bringing any subject matter to the table, but you're saying the truths of God. You're saying the gospel of Christ faithfully and clearly in all that you say. So to glorify God in Christ, we want to use our speaking gifts in accordance with God's word. And secondly, Peter instructs us to use our serving gifts in accordance with God's power. Peter says this, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. God gives us power to exercise our gifts in a way that we can never do on our own. Peter is telling us, if you have the gift of helps, if you have the gift of faith, if you have the gift of leadership or administration, if you have the gift of giving, if you have one of these gifts that brings you alongside of others in whatever capacity to do something to minister to them and help them, Peter is saying, make sure you don't do it in your own strength, but do it through the strength that God provides through Christ. And the way we do that is we just pray for strength. We pray for help. God, help me in what I am called to do in this task. And we trust by faith that God will give us the empowerment to exercise our gift in a way that will be successful and faithful to others. Let's say, for example, you have the gift of helps. You're just one of those persons that we can just plug in anywhere because you just like to help people. And God's just given you this supernatural ability to just come alongside and do whatever needs to be done to get something done. So let's say if you're exercising that gift in caring for our little babies in the nursery one Sunday morning, what would that look like for you to do it in the power that God provides and not in your own strength? Well, it would look something like this. You get up in the morning and you say, Lord, you know, I have the privilege. I don't have to, but I get to. I get to care for these sweet little babies that you've entrusted to Lakeland Baptist Church. And I'm someone who's going to get to love them today and sing to them today and read to them today and pray over them today. So I'm just going to ask you, Lord, will you give me the strength that I need to deal with all their crying, to deal with all their fussiness, to deal with all their messes? And I want to tell you, if you got a little girl's going through teething like ours is right now, to deal with all their stinkiness. Because I'll tell you, y'all know if you deal with babies a lot, you're going to have to change a lot of diapers and they can be stinky. You know, God knows you need a supernatural empowerment to deal with certain ministry opportunities. And so we ask for God, whatever that opportunity is, whether it's leading out in a big event, whether it's cleaning up from a church-wide social, or stopping by as a deacon to do a hospital visit to someone who's seriously suffering from a chronic disease. We pray to God for empowerment, and we trust him to work in and through us. Those are the two instructions that Peter gives us if we're going to glorify God and make sure God's honored and Christ is honored through the gifts that he's given us, through speaking and serving. And then Peter closes this goal, this purpose statement in verse 11 with one word, amen. We use this word all the time at the end of prayers. It means let it be. It means truly. It means may it be so. Our heart's desire this morning should say, Lord, the gifts you've given me, or the gift, may it be so that when I speak, I always speak a word that's consistent with your word so that you're honored and Christ is honored. Lord, may it be so with every gift you've given me that I use in service ministry, in practical ways in our church, that I use that gift and the strength you provide, that you empower me, and I don't do it in and of my own strength. I shared with you about 6-7 weeks ago, sometime around Christmas, that a friend of mine in Melody's, Danny Cole, was in his kitchen. I think he was doing dishes or something like that, and he passed out. He fell on the floor. His wife called 911, 40 years of age. Paramedics reached the home. They began doing CPR on Danny for an extended period of time, and they finally got a heartbeat back, a pulse. Once they had a sustained heartbeat, they put him in the ambulance, rushed him to the hospital. Danny's sister notified me and Mel, let us know how serious a condition her brother was in. When they got him to the hospital, they had to put him on life support. And the next day, after having been in the hospital for only a day and a half, the doctors came in, I believe two or three doctors came in, and they judged that Danny was brain dead. Danny Cole, 40 years old, doing dishes in his kitchen. He was here 1 minute, was gone the next. Melody was able to go to Danny's funeral. I had a meeting that day and was not able to make it. She represented our family, and she said the preacher did an outstanding job just celebrating Danny's life. And she said one of the things that he extolled Danny for is that Danny was a servant of servants. He was someone who served others so well. Church, Peter begins this passage telling us that we need to get busy with using our spiritual gifts, because there's no time to waste, for the return of Christ is imminent. Jesus is coming back, and I want you to know just this morning, I pray, Jesus, come. My personal quiet time, I said, Lord Jesus, there's nothing in this world I want more than you, so come. I want you to come back today. Please come. But may I share with you also, there's another reason why we need to get busy using our spiritual gifts. It's not just because there's no time to waste in terms with the return of Christ. There's no time to waste when it comes to the brevity of this life. I want you to look around. Everybody look around. Just look around at the people in this room. If this year is like all the previous years that I've been your pastor, some of you will not be here a year from now. See, not only is the clock of world history ticking down, but the clocks that God has on our lives, they're ticking down. And God is the one who has set the days that we have, which no man will pass. We need to get busy using our spiritual gifts and service in the church, because Jesus is coming back and we're going to meet him at his return, or we're going to meet him when we breathe our last breath and we are in his presence forever. We need to get serious about using our spiritual gifts in church. My desire for you as your pastor, since God's given you leaders to equip you for the work of ministry, is that when you stand before Jesus, if this is your last year and you don't have much time left on your clock, that you will breathe your last and enter into the presence of Jesus having used your spiritual gifts this last year in service to him, in the ways he's called you to speak and in the ways that he's called you to serve. Will you this morning, will you just surrender your all to him? Regardless of your age, regardless of what things you think you can and can't do, will you just say, Jesus, the last period of my life, the last few minutes here on earth, will you just use me the ways that you want to use me for your glory and for the glory of the gospel? And if you're here this morning, or you're watching online and you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ, there is no time to waste in receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Once you die, you get no second chance. The Bible tells us we're all sinners separated from God, but Jesus, the Son of God, came down, became a man, lived a perfect life, and he paid the price for our sins, death on the cross. He died, was put into the grave, and resurrected as our victorious King and Lord, who defeated sin and death for us, our greatest enemies. And if we're willing to turn from our sin and trust in Jesus, he will forgive us. He will cleanse us. He will make us his own. The Holy Spirit will come to indwell us, and then he will gift us for his good purposes in this world. But before you get a spiritual gift, you have to receive the gift of Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life, which he's offering today. If you have questions about what that means to receive him, we're going to have ministers up front ready to receive you. If you've got questions about what it's going to mean in the coming weeks to put your spiritual gifts into service, we're here to help. Call us, email us, talk with us after church. We want to help you get plugged in. And as I told you, we're going to have sign-up sheets in all of our Sunday school classes for you to put your name down to say, I'm ready to use my gifts in serving others in the church. What decision do you need to make this morning? We're going to give you an opportunity to do so. Would you please bow your head with me as we pray? Father, we come before you this morning in all seriousness, because this is a serious text. As Peter nears the end of this letter that he wrote, he calls attention to the certainty that Jesus is coming back. And all things as we know it, they're going to come to their end. You're going to complete what you're doing in Christ in this world. So not knowing when that day is going to come, Peter tells us we need to be actively serving, using responsibly our gifts in the church to make a difference in the lives of others, to help people where they're struggling, to be a blessing while we have the opportunity to bless others. God, will you please use this sermon today to stir someone's heart to say, I'm ready to start serving. I will find out as I pray and talk with leadership and explore ways of serving in the church, where's the perfect place for me to use the gifts you've given me. And I just ask you, God, if there's someone here this morning who's never received Jesus Christ, will you help them to see there's no time to waste? They don't know when their time is up, and that right now is the only time that you give. Today is the day of salvation. God, may they make that decision, God, to give their heart to Jesus. We pray. In Jesus' name, will you please stand?